This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hour number three of the Fan Evening Show, taking you up until the nightly sports call at 10:35. My name is Jack Hillgrove. Joining us now on the Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Pitt beat writer Stephen Thompson, getting ready for Pitt and Cal. The Panthers 5-0 for the first time since 1991. Stephen, here's to hoping that this season doesn't end the way 1991's did, because the Panthers started 5-0, went 6-5. Good evening to you, sir. What's going on?
Not much. Yeah, I'm certainly hoping that this season doesn't end that way. We're off to a hopeful start. Let's not jinx it.
Yeah, no kidding. Cal coming off of a tough loss. I mean, watched that game out with some friends late night because it didn't start until like 10:30 or whatever. They fall to Miami at home. First time college game day had ever been there. I don't know if you got a chance to scout them a little bit and watch what they were able to do. Let's talk a little bit about the Golden Bears and through the eyes of Stephen Thompson, what have you seen so far that might make them a challenge?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, they've got a really opportunistic secondary. I think they're at the top of the ACC in interceptions. So they can really challenge you in that way. Their secondary is really good. But I think it's the things that they are doing on offense that really have kind of led to a bit of a revival. I mean, they got off to a hot start and, took Miami down to the wire, had a big lead on him. But, it's the play of Mendoza, the quarterback. He's a little bit of an older guy, but he's just accurate. He makes good decisions, just really solid all around. Can use his legs a little bit too. Even use his legs last game on a play that probably should have been a targeting, but was not called. And then, of course, Jaden Ott is the star of the whole thing. Jaden Ott is their running back. He can kind of do it all. He can run with power, but he's got speed. He can catch it out of the backfield. So, Justin Wilcox, their head coach, not necessarily known for being an offensive guy. He's a really good defensive coach. But the fact that they've been able to put together some stuff on the offensive end or on the offensive side of the ball really kind of makes this team dangerous and makes this team really solid, even though they've had some tough losses this year.
Yeah, and looking back from a Pitt perspective, 34-24, the win on the road against North Carolina, a place that they had never won before. I mean, we were talking about that leading up. Rodney Hammond back into the fold and didn't contribute a ton. Do you attribute that with him just kind of maybe getting acclimated a little bit more? And how do you see potentially him, coupling Desmond Reed in the backfield as this season progresses?
Yeah, so I sort of thought the same thing. I mean, Pat Narduzzi said Hammond had been practicing with the team the entire time, but I think it was more in a scout team capacity. I think he was They weren't sure whether or not he'd actually be able to return for the field, to the field for them this year. So those first, 4 or 5 weeks were about a lot of scout team work, him kind of contributing how he could to the team. So I do think there's a little bit of catching up for him to do over these next few weeks. He's got to, not only he has to get comfortable with the playbook and with a quarterback that he hasn't really played with before and everything like that. But I think also Cade Bell has to kind of see what he has in Rodney in real action. Cade's never really worked with him before outside of, spring ball and practices, then been a live game before, before last Saturday. So I think he's also feeling out what Rodney's able to do in this specific offense. There's at the very least a chance for Rodney to be a really solid backup, an older veteran guy who has a little bit of speed, but mostly power, if nothing else, to spell Des Reed, who I think touched the ball close to 30 times against North Carolina. And it's not a comment on his toughness or his ability at all, but you just can't let a running back touch the ball that many times, especially at Des Reed's size. So getting a veteran in there, a guy who has some talent and, has played college football before, and Rodney Hammond back in there will give Reed a nice break and I think make Reed a little bit more durable down the stretch.
Stephen Thompson on the Fan Hotline, he covers Pitt for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and you talked a little bit about Desmond Reed, and I think there's some concern there, man, because he got banged up in the game against North Carolina, left and was able to come back and finish, but, he's been banged up a ton, missed obviously that Youngstown State game. Is it to the point now where maybe Pitt fans can be a little bit concerned about his durability, despite how dynamic and game-changing he's been so far for the Panthers' offense?
I was a little amazed that he kept going down and then getting back up and coming back in that game at North Carolina. I think it's perfectly reasonable to be concerned about it. I mean, it hasn't really affected the outcome of the game yet, but Pitt's hardest games are still to come. So I think it is fair to be a little bit concerned about it. They're a different team without him in the lineup. Pat Narduzzi said after the game that it was just cramping, but I don't know if I don't know. I mean, he was held out of that Youngstown State game for a reason. Even if it was just cramping, I mean, I think the simple fact that he is, touching the ball 30 times a game and in for so many snaps, I think that played a not insignificant role in even if that just was cramping. So, I'm not sure to make of kind of the injury news that Pat Narduzzi shares with us. I mean, he usually doesn't voluntarily share injury news. I don't know if he's just trying to tamp down some of the panic or tamp down some of the worry that maybe Pitt fans have, but I think it's perfectly reasonable to be worried about it, and that's why, getting the Derek Davis back, getting Rodney Hammond eligible, those are big. Those are big developments for Pitt moving forward, because Reed is going to need some rest at some point, even if he's not getting hurt.
Eli Holstein, Walter Camp, Player of the Week, first guy to quarterback a Pitt team to 5-0 since, 91, wins his first five starts, first guy to do that since Dan Marino. I mean, like, we're watching something special here, right? I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. I mean, Eli Holstein is trending, I think, towards being a generational talent to come through Pitt, and obviously with the portal and all that stuff, he's got to stay, but we're watching something really, truly special unfold with him as Pitt's quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you get compared to Dan Marino, that's pretty rare. That's pretty special territory. You make some of the statistical comparisons. I mean, through these first few games, he's right on track with or pretty close to what Kenny Pickett was doing through 5 weeks in 2021. You can even make a comparison to what Jameis Winston was doing in his first year as a starter at Florida State. I mean, the numbers are really similar. Some of the accolades, like these ACC players, the rookies of the week that they've got going on, that Eli Holstein keeps winning. He's on pace with some of the great quarterbacks that we've seen in recent memory in the ACC at Pitt, of course. It's absolutely something special. You can never predict what a guy's going to do a year after, but I think as long as Cade Bell stays at Pitt for another year, I'm pretty comfortable it'd be about Eli Holstein wanting to stick with his coordinator and stick with a guy that he trusts for another year, the year before he becomes draft eligible, that is. So, if Eli Holstein keeps playing this way, he's only going to be at Pitt for one more year, best case scenario, but there'll be one more good year plus the rest of what we got this season.
Stephen Thompson covers Pitt for the Post-Gazette. You know, when you look at 5-0 and you look at a two-possession win, the Panthers are coming off of at North Carolina, where they held the lead for the entire fourth quarter. A come-from-behind win on the road and a come-from-behind win at home. Couple of blowout wins. It seems like the Panthers are winning games in different styles and different ways, and you know they're undefeated to this point. So what maybe have you learned watching Pitt through the first 5 weeks of regular season play that maybe you haven't, you know, or maybe what am I trying to, you weren't expecting, you know, watching this team in training camp and getting ready to cover them for week one?
Right. Well, I mean, I think a lot of guys on offense have been revelations. I thought they would improve. I didn't think they would improve to the point that they have. But I think overall, this team is just clutch in ways that are really impressive. And not just on the offensive side of the ball, where they are able to beat a bunch of different coverages, where they are able to, you know, pass when a team knows that they're passing. They're able to lean on their strengths because they're better than what a defense has shown. They're versatile too. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I don't, there's something just innate about this defense where when the pressure, you know, gets higher, when they have, you know, been beaten a few times, when they have, you know, maybe bent a little bit, they just refuse to break. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter on those last few minutes, you know, guys like Kyle Lewis, guys like Rasheem Biles, a few of these defensive linemen have just come up with really massive plays in the exact right moments. So Pat Narduzzi called it resiliency. He called it toughness earlier this week. I'd call it a level of clutchness, but these guys just embrace the big moments, and they've made a bunch of plays in those big moments to stay undefeated.
Stephen Thompson, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Panthers. As we get set for Pitt and Cal on Saturday, what are some of the things in your mind, Stephen, that the Panthers have to accomplish on the field to get to 6-0 and keep this thing rolling, man? 22nd in the country, a win would likely put them in the top 20, maybe even the top 15. So what do they got to do to get it done on Saturday?
I think the number one thing is Eli Holstein has to protect the ball. And, you know, his receivers, you know, Kenny Johnson had a rough day protecting the ball last week too. So, you know, it's really for the entire offense. But Holstein, I think, has gotten away with a few more passes that could have been interceptions than ones that actually did become interceptions. He got burned for a poor read on an out route against North Carolina. Against a defense that, like I said, is opportunistic. They have a ton of they you know, come up with a ton of interceptions. Holstein's going to have to, you know, play like the poised rookie, but you know, a guy who plays like he's older than a rookie, like he has for the first few weeks, and not turn the ball over. Make sure Pitt, you know, can possess the ball and everything like that. And then this defensive line is going to have to continue to take steps forward. You can't get run over. You have to be able to track down Jaden Ott wherever he is and put some pressure on Mendoza, force him into some bad decisions.
Hey, before I let you go, are you a fantasy football guy?
I am a fantasy football guy.
Okay, the reason,
you can tell, but
yeah, no, the reason why I ask is because I'm keeping track on our YouTube stream here, and Nick comments, let me know, and we can maybe help him out here. Does he trade Kyler Murray and Mike Evans for Pickens and Jaden Daniels? And he says he feels like it'd be good because if Russ comes back, he might be able to get Pickens the football more. I don't know about you, but I'd be more excited and more inclined to do that because of what Jaden Daniels has done to start the season.
Yeah, that's tough because Daniels is definitely, I think probably the best player in that deal. But honestly, I think Mike Evans is way too good too. And I don't know, this whole Pickens getting his snaps cut down thing would kind of spook me. No matter who's your quarterback there, I'm not so sure that situation is going to end very well for anyone in the Pickens situation.
All right, Nick, there you go. Well, Steven, thanks for hopping on. We'll have to do it again in a couple of weeks the next time I'm on, and hopefully by that point we're talking more about an undefeated football program. Thanks for taking some time tonight.
Appreciate it, Jack. Have a good one.
You too, brother. That's Stephen Thompson. He covers the Panthers for the Post-Gazette. Nick, hopefully you're still watching on the live stream on the YouTube channel, and that inclined you to not trade Kyler Murray and Mike Evans for Pickens and Jaden Daniels. What do you think, Jolie? Would you pull that move? I don't think I would, and I think Steven brings up a good point with, you know, Mike Evans being very good and George Pickens having his snaps cut down is a big yikes, despite Jaden Daniels being Jaden Daniels so far.
I got to go with, if I'm getting, which side did you go with again?
I said no, because he says, do I trade Kyler Murray and Mike Evans for Pickens and Jaden Daniels? So you get Pickens and Jaden Daniels, and you give up Murray and Mike Evans.
It's tough because Jaden Daniels have to look at a really good season.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the numbers,
too. But so is Mike Evans. So,
yeah.
And I guess, what's more of a premium, quarterbacks or receivers?
If you're a PPR league, then it doesn't, I think, even compare.
I think I'm good with holding because Kyler Murray, he's got a lot of really good guys around him. And if Kyler Murray has one of those, you know, 60 to 70 yard rushing games, I mean, he had a big game against San Francisco. He had like a 50-yard rushing touchdown. He's got Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, really good run game around him. It's a tough one. It's a close one because Jaden Daniels is the best fantasy guy among those four players, but I think I'd also hold on.
You know what I hate about fantasy football, too? I had the third highest point total among teams in my league this week and lost because I just happened to place, I think it was the second highest point total.
It's infuriating. A bad beat.
It's infuriating.
It's a bad beat. And I know it's not popular with football, but like the season points thing where whoever has the most points at the end of the season wins the league. It's not popular in football, but that would be a good time to be in that. When you lose your matchup but scored, you would have outscored 75% of the league that week. That's a bad beat.
Yeah, and in my league, my good buddy Nick actually ended up with the highest point total amongst the 12-team league that we're in. I have to give Nick a shout-out, too. Over the week, the weekend, he actually had a pretty serious medical procedure done, and he's home and recovering, and we're all thankful and happy for that. So, Nick, I love you. Hopefully you're listening. If not, no big deal. I'll talk to you at some point, but shout-out to him. He's doing well and actually did better than anybody else in our fantasy league this week, despite being in and out of the hospital and having some stuff done. All right, coming up, more of your takes, more of your phone calls. We can talk about whatever the hell you want. It's the Fan Evening Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Fan text lines brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee, unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia. In Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. How about you see Livy Dunn's TikTok of Paul Skeens doing gymnastics at LSU?
I don't. Maybe I saw like a small snippet of it.
Yeah,
but
just like him bouncing around. You know what my first thought was?
Better not get hurt.
If this chick gets him hurt, she would become Pittsburgh's version of Bartman.
That's right.
And I think Bartman would probably still carry the weight because then I don't think that'll ever be taught, but she would become the Pittsburgh equivalent of Bartman.
He gets one injury and he's out for multiple months and has to miss a little portion of spring training. And who knows if he's going to be available to be, you would think, the opening day starter for next season.
Yeah. I would have. I was actually pissed when I saw him. I'm like, what are we doing? I get it. But, I mean, come on, man. Boy, I'd hate to see him pitching right about now in the playoffs, but that's a discussion for another day. Actually, you know what? No, it's not. If you have a Pirates take, we'll open up the phone lines, 412-928-9370. You know, I made the comparison, well, not the comparison, I made the point earlier when we were talking about the Penguins in the playoffs, how much I would get up and loved getting up and getting with my buddies and watching the Penguins play a playoff game every other day. Much smaller sample size in baseball because it's best of three and then best of five, and you don't get until best of seven until the championship series. But for a little bit, you're meaningful baseball every other day, and it's fun as hell, i.e. 2013 wild card game. So seeing like the Mets and the Phillies, ugh, and the Yankees, ugh. I love watching big market teams lose in the playoffs, Joel. I find so much joy in it. It's like, because the Pirates will never be one of those teams that spend $300 million and have a top five payroll and get beat by a small market team. Although it would be just, wouldn't it? If at some point in our great history, somewhere, or maybe even in an alternate universe where the Pirates ended up with a top five payroll, it would just make sense for a small market team to beat them because they were never, ever able to figure it out when they were once upon a time.
Sure seems like it.
Yeah, no, it'll never get to that point, but I always enjoy watching teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers get beat by the Royals or whoever else because you spend all that money and where does it get you? Absolutely nowhere. Another thing, while we stay on the baseball topic, and not to dampen any optimism you might have of success for the Pirates in 2025, but you look at the NL Central, and Milwaukee just won it again. And St. Louis and Chicago were right there, but still have the resources and the ability to get back to contention. And the other team there is Cincinnati, who's also got a young and talented roster, but they've got Terry Francona now. And I don't know if you caught any of his introductory press conference. He looks healthy. He seems energized. And he's one of the best managers, you know, we've seen growing up. And I mean, there've been a lot of fantastic baseball managers. That's one of the things that I was trying to figure out. One of the Sunday shows I had, you know, it's so easy to figure out sometimes like who the greatest football coach of all time is or basketball coach. But something tell and hockey with Scotty Bowman, it's not even a discussion. But there is a very, very real discussion about who the greatest managers of all time are. It was actually right around when Jim Leland got inducted into the Hall of Fame is when I had that discussion. So you kind of have to break it down, at least I think, into eras. And in the one that we're in right now, it doesn't get much better than Tito. I mean, in the fact that he's going to go to a team that just kind of needed, it seems like, that extra jolt, that extra, you know, push across the finish line to be great. Something that maybe he could have supplied here in Pittsburgh if given the opportunity. I don't know what your thoughts are on Francona, but I think he's a phenomenal baseball mind and manager still, despite being 65. And to me, as somebody that enjoys it when the Pirates win, it makes it tough for them to succeed with Francona now coaching in your division, managing in your division.
It's an excellent hire for Cincinnati, and if the Pirates were to move on from Derek Shelton, it's the kind of hire that they would need to make, because it's a team who they are in the last, well, they should be done with their like rebuilding process. The Pirates did it. The Reds did it. Both teams are at the tail end. They just need to make the playoffs now, even if it's just that, and they're out in the wild card. They still made the playoffs. You need a manager, though, who's not one of these up-and-coming guys. You need someone with experience, like Francona. He's brought the Red Sox and the Guardians to the World Series and a lot of like long playoff pushes. So you need that kind of manager for a team that needs to be in the playoffs but has a lot of young talent and is on the rise. That's the perfect manager for that group.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you were able to provide some insight there, because like Jim from Omaha texts in, got to keep up with that deduction of on-air hours to maximize my productivity in the long run, you know, taking that Mike Tomlin approach, man. Jim from Omaha is still listening. Thanks for the text. Thanks for listening. All right. Coming up this Saturday at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. And if you're out there listening and if you're a Pitt fan, give me a call because I want your take on this. What kind of, and if you're not a Pitt fan, you'll probably get a cackle out of the question I'm going to pose.
Attendance.
What kind of crowd are we anticipating for the 5-0, 22nd-ranked Panthers at home on Saturday? The Steelers are out west, and sometimes I think that the attendance issues when it comes to Pitt football have to deal with, and I would, you know, I don't really care to ever look into it because as a Pitt fan, I don't really care, and it seems like Penn State and West Virginia fans love to point out, especially Penn State fans, Pitt's football attendance. But I would love to know the attendance differences. You know, when the team is of, you would have to take like equivalent success years and then compare it to the weekends where the Steelers are home versus when they're on the road. I would venture to guess that when Pitt's humming and they're worth going to watch, games are higher attended when it's the only game in town that weekend and the only game in the stadium that weekend versus, you know, if you're a Pitt fan and you're a Steelers fan, you're like, you know what? I'm going to spend a couple $100 to go watch the Steelers. Don't really feel like going down there 2 days in a row, which is understandable. And if you like the Steelers more than you like Pitt, yeah, I mean, that's what you pick. You pick the NFL product, sure. Steelers are in Vegas this weekend. Obviously, we've been talking about that. I will be there along with Donnie Football and the Nasty Boys. So I'm anxious to see, because the Steelers are on the road, what kind of crowd this undefeated Pitt football team brings on Saturday at 3:30, because again, they're coming off of a big road win to stay undefeated. And then before that, a bye week. So they play what, 3 weeks ago, whoop-de-doo, they kill Youngstown State. They're 4-0. Then you've got bye, then you've got away game. The vibe around a team can change drastically in those 2 weeks after the bye. Like if they would have went down to North Carolina and got beat, and you're like, okay, now we're 0-1 in the ACC, here comes the decline, whatever, then that would take, at least from my fans' hat's perspective, it would definitely kill the vibe a little bit of the football program going on. But that didn't happen. Like, Pitt won, I think convincingly enough, two possessions, they were up the entire fourth quarter. Somebody tweeted at me and was like, oh, Pitt has three razor-thin wins. North Carolina was not a razor-thin win. It's a two-possession game, and you were up the entire fourth quarter. Close, yes, But you throw all that in with going down there and going on the road in a place you never won before. It's not a razor thin win. Anywho, they win that game. They're 5-0. First time since 91. I wasn't alive the last time Pitt football was undefeated through five games to start a season. So the question that I pose is, what kind of crowd are you expecting? And that's at 412-928-9370. You can send us a text. You can send us a tweet. You can send us a call. Somebody texts in, newsflash, nobody outside of Pittsburgh cares about Pitt. Give it up. Well, buddy, you have a 412 area code, so you're probably in Pittsburgh listening to a Pittsburgh radio station. All right, pal. More power to you, man. 10:35 tonight, the nightly sports call. Normally, I text Richie Walsh and ask him if it's him or if it's Pomp and who from the fan is on. But I didn't today. And now I kind of feel bad about it. I was actually dealing with some stuff. I think there was a water main break near my apartment. And when I left, the water in my apartment was a little discolored. So I had to come home and shower at my mom's. So that kind of threw me off. It must have slipped my mind, unfortunately.
Tuesday nights are generally Pomp and Pony.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Because last week, I think it was Richie with Pony. Regardless, it'll be good discussion, and you can listen to it. It's simulcast right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Coming up, we're going to stick with college football. Jolie, Saturday's nuts. And we're going to dive into some of the matchups and talk about how if you have other plans with a significant other doing a fall-themed activity or have a wedding to attend, I'm sorry. It's Jack Hillgrove Fan Eating Show. My girlfriend thinks she's hilarious, Joel. She is listening. She's actually on her way to Washington, D.C. right now, and her friends are flying to Iceland. So while I'll be in Vegas, she'll be in Iceland with her friends from college. But so she's listening on her way down there, and she said, hey, you want to go to the pumpkin patch this weekend? Making fun of me saying, oh, I'd feel bad for you if you're missing this college football lineup coming on Saturday. It's a Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove with you until 10:35, up until the nightly sports call. Yeah, I mean, you look at it from the local lens and you look at it from just being a guy who likes or a girl who likes football and wants to sit down and watch good college football. It both local, non-local, it's bringing the heat. First of all, locally, Pitt trying to go 6-0. They're ranked. They take on Cal at home in a massive game. Penn State, they head out to USC. That game obviously drawing national attention as well. It's a conference matchup now as well. I mean, we've seen that matchup how many times in big-time bowl games and the Rose Bowl, stuff like that. It's a Big Ten showdown now with Penn State, number four in the nation now. And then West Virginia, Adam Crowley's boys, despite starting 1-2 and having a grim outlook on the season, they're 2-0 in the Big 12 now, and they welcome the 11th-ranked team in the nation in Iowa State to Milan Pushkar Stadium on Saturday. That game, an 8 o'clocker as well on Fox. So that's a big game for West Virginia. Pitt's got a big game, and Penn State's got a big game. And Penn State's, like I said, kind of dips into the national importance as well. Speaking of those national importance games, Texas and Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry, now an SEC showdown. The Longhorns number one, Oklahoma 4-1, 18th, and that's one of the more iconic rivalry games in college football. That's your 3:30. You also have Penn State on at 3:30. Also have Stanford and Notre Dame on at 3:30. So even if you don't like pay for cable like my girlfriend does, so every time I go over there, she's got like the basic channels, and I love her to death, and she's still listening. Maddie, I love you, but I can't. I have to log in. I have to take her Roku out of her bedroom and move it to the TV in the living room and then log in, and it's just a pain. Anywho, if you don't have the basic channel, or if you just have the basic channels, ABC, CBS, NBC with three really good games at 3:30, so you can switch back and forth. You can set up multiple screens. Pitt's on 3:30. And then the night window, Florida and Tennessee. Still, I think it could be a pretty good game. Florida's struggling and heads to Neyland Stadium to take on the Volunteers, who are ranked 8th. But it's an SEC showdown, a classic matchup, and I think has a chance to be a good football game. Ole Miss and LSU, national television at 7:30, 9 versus 13. Something about those two numbers together makes me feel some type of way. Get it? And then the big one, the big fish, Ohio State and Oregon, 2 versus 3, College Game Day, 7:30 on NBC. I'm not really seeing a whole lot of noon games that spark any interest. Clemson plays Wake Forest. Alabama plays South Carolina. They'll probably kill them after falling at Vanderbilt last week. So kind of the best of both worlds, Joel. You can sleep in. There's not a whole lot of intriguing college football in the noon window. So you can sleep in on a Saturday morning, get up casually, watch game day out in Eugene. And then from 3:30 on, there are 5-6 games that just are firing me up to talk about it.
It's a loaded, loaded group this weekend. Head to toe after 3:30, it's can't miss. It's almost like March Madness where you need a multiple TV setup to keep along with all of the action this weekend, because it's going to be absolutely crinkling, Jack. All the college football this weekend, the high quality college football,
and crinkling
charts
indeed, Jolie. And it's like, oh man, I wish I could watch it somewhere, you know, maybe a little bit more ideal than, I don't know, the sports betting capital of the world where there's a million TVs everywhere.
Big screens too.
Yeah. You know what we're doing on, and I could probably talk about this cause they run ads on our station. We're doing the stadium swim on Monday, which I'm fired up for. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures.
It's got the super massive TV. Yeah. And that looks incredible.
And the weather, I mean, it's upper 90s. I'll be able to come back in mid-October with a fresh tan. I'm getting more excited as I talk about it.
Soak it all in, man. No pun intended.
No, seriously. Absolutely. And then Saturday we get out there and the college football again is absolutely off the charts. Texas and Oklahoma, Penn State, USC, Stanford, Notre Dame, Pitt, Cal, Florida, Tennessee, Ohio State, Oregon, Ole Miss, LSU, West Virginia, Iowa State. And something tells me too, like even, and we'll be out on the West Coast, so this will be what, 8 o'clock our time. Boise State plays Hawaii. Ashton Jeanty is absurd.
He is incredible. No one can stop this guy.
Did you see the run that he had last week where he ran into like five dudes and then just somehow squirted out and scored like a 70-yard touchdown?
I did not. Was it like a Marshawn Lynch,
not,
Beastquake
no,
kind of run?
Just like you watch the dude run and he's so level-headed with his eyes are up and he's just fighting off defenders and then boom, he turns on the Jets and he goes, man, he is insane. And part of me wonders like, man, he goes to Boise State. Like, is he really going to win the Heisman because he goes to Boise State? But then you look at his numbers. I believe in a lot of the betting sites, he is the odds-on favorite at the moment. I mean, we are what? 5 games in? Is Boise State 5-0? They're 4-1. 5 games in. 1,000 yards. 1,031. 16 touchdowns. And the dude averages 10, almost, well, if you round up, 11 yards a carry. Video game like sometimes I suck so bad at video games I couldn't even do that in College Football 25 or Madden.
Not even on rookie mode?
Okay, maybe on rookie mode, but nobody mode. I don't want to play on rookie mode and get made fun of. Crazy. 95 carries, 1,031 yards, 16 touchdowns. He averages what? A little over 200 yards a game. Just under 4 touchdowns a game. I was actually in a bar Saturday night, and you know, you're standing around in a bar and you're watching football with guys. Like, everybody can get along in a setting like that, at least I think. And the one guy, I didn't know him until that night, but he had pointed out, I guess, Jeanty, like if you would have bet on him to score 3+ touchdowns on FanDuel, it was like -150.
I was just going to get to something like that. Now, I don't think you could do college props in the state of Pennsylvania, but I saw that his over-under yardage was 191 rushing yards.
You can't do college props in PA?
Yeah. Wow. Apparently.
See, I'm in Steubenville full-time.
I think you can in West Virginia.
Yeah, because I know you definitely, because before sports betting became legal in Ohio, and with and you know us being in the tri-state area, I would usually circle like a visit to the grocery store, convenience store in Follinsbee or Weirton around placing a couple of bets because I had to. Like I couldn't do it 10 minutes down the road in my apartment in Ohio. I had to go to West Virginia and do it. And I know you could have there. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess I never realized you can't do college prop bets in PA.
From what I've seen, yeah, college prop bets and like anything NFL draft related.
Yeah.
Not in Pennsylvania, apparently. But 100, he can have just under 200 rushing yards and the under would hit for his rushing total, Ashton Jeanty, which is just incredible. This guy better be the standout pick for the Doak Walker Award
this year, best
running back.
And I think he'll be invited into the Heisman ceremony. Because you look at, like, my two picks before the season started, Dylan Gabriel and Jalen Milroe. Like, Jalen Milroe just lost to Vanderbilt. So, like, you throw Jeanty out of the equation and you look at the court, because the Heisman, unfortunately, has just become a quarterback of the year award, it seems like. And you look at the big-time quarterbacks at big-time programs, nobody's really standing out except maybe Cam Ward, who hasn't you look at his numbers, aren't that great. So, like, to me, right now it's trending towards a perfect year for a guy like the running back at Boise State to be the Heisman Trophy winner. And I'll be rooting like hell for him because he is fun to watch. And it's just tough because West Coast football, you can't really watch it if you're not up. But this week they play Hawaii 11 o'clock Eastern time. It'll be 8 o'clock Vegas time when we're out there Saturday night. Might have to place a couple of prop bets on Mr. Jeanty to get into the Vegas spirit. Speaking of Vegas spirit, if you're up still and you're listening, I appreciate you. And if you're up still and listening to us and you've been to Las Vegas, provide us some tips. Provide me and Donnie Football and the rest of the Nasty Boys some tips because it's a couple of us, our first times heading out to the Sin City. Now, there's a couple of us in the group that have been there before and they'll be able to kind of pave the way, but always open to suggestions. So please feel free to fill the phone lines at 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out the 24 Silverado 1500 at 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Clear tonight, low of 49. High tomorrow, sunny skies, 67. And those sunny skies and temps in the 60s will remain throughout the week. We'll put a bow on the show and hopefully one of or two of you or several of you call in with some Vegas tips after the break. It's Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.